We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 o'clock, H-Town. I'm Clint Sterner. I'm joined by my man, Wade Smith. Smitty, it's Super Bowl weekend, baby. It is Super Bowl weekend. Wade Smith, can the San Francisco 49ers defense, great defense.
Yeah.
Great defense. Been good all year long. Can they stop the great? Golly, it's too early in his career to be saying that, but damn it, I'm pretty confident he's great.
He plays like it.
Can they stop? Can that defense stop Pat Mahomes?
They can't stop him, but they can slow them down.
Wait. That's an MJ deal now.
Yeah,
that's
you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Come on. Pat Mahomes in that category already?
I'm not putting him in a Jordan category, but I'm putting the way that offense performs on day in, day out. Yeah, right. I'm definitely putting him in that category because so many weapons. They have a great play caller, and they got a trigger man that can get it to anybody when he wants to. So it's going to be a tough task for the 49ers, but they can slow them down. They can force a turnover here or there. They can force a punt here or there, get, you know, knock him off his spot. They can do that, but to stop them, that ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening either. Here's my deal, Wade. This is going to be part of my prediction, but I'll go ahead and get it out.
Let it out.
I think Pat Mahomes, he hadn't faced a defensive run, front, a pass rush like San Francisco's capable of playing. He hadn't faced a pass rush like that. And I don't mean just getting him off his spot and moving him, but I mean when he gets off his spot, their ability to close the gap, their ability to chase Mahomes and hit him as he gets outside the pocket and abuse him behind the line of scrimmage as he's trying to buy time, whether he's fading away from the line of scrimmage or he's fading to the sideline, drifting to the sideline. I think this is a defensive front that not only can get him off his spot but has the speed to track him down and not give him the time that we in Houston, we saw him have extra time outside the pocket. In fact, we saw it, I think, at least twice, if not three times on touchdowns to Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
So I just believe that this defense has the ability to make it significantly more difficult on Pat Mahomes than any other defense has done in a long time. And maybe we're talking about a two-month span. Pat Mahomes has been way too damn comfortable. I think this is a weekend when San Francisco has the ability to get him off his spot. San Francisco has the ability to contact him, rough him up a little bit. And I'm going to predict that Pat Mahomes, I hate to do this because I don't want to ever see anybody get injured, tweak a little ankle or something. It's going to slow him down and it's going to change the game.
That wouldn't be hard. That's not hard for me to believe at all. I think that's something that's really in play because I know that the defensive line and the defense in general, the 49ers know that if Pat Mahomes has a clean ball game, if he doesn't have a dirty jersey by the third quarter, they know it's going to be a long day at the office. So they're going to have to go after him and get him. And so if he's getting hit, and he's definitely going to be getting hit more than he has in the past few weeks, there's a chance of him getting injured and getting nicked up. And if he gets nicked up, now you take a dimension away from his game and what he's shown over the past few weeks, the ability to scramble and get yards downfield and also scramble and find receivers downfield. And so that Pat Mahomes is unstoppable. If Pat Mahomes gets, you know, I think the over-under is like 30 yards from him. If he gets over that 30 yards, if he's running 40, 50 yards in this game, that's the unstoppable Pat Mahomes. That's a guy that you can't slow down or contain. So it's going to be a long day at the office.
Yeah, so the coaches for Kansas City too, Wade. You talk about Andy Reid. You already hear the rest of their coaching staff and some of their players talking about they want to win this one for the big fella. They want to win this one for Andy Reid. You know, this is one of those deals where I think he's, from a statistical standpoint, everything outside of a Super Bowl win, this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if you just look at his ability and the company that he keeps in, as far as offensive game planners and schemers, he's a Hall of Famer. But that Super Bowl would lock it up for him. So this is a big football game for Andy Reid to again, cement himself into that Hall of Fame and into that kind of company. It's like Dan Marino. Dan Marino's clearly one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play our game. There's no doubt about it.
No question.
But oftentimes gets left off the list because why? He doesn't have a Super Bowl victory, right? Eli Manning, he's going to get put on the list. I don't know if he gets in or not. I personally think he does.
He's going to get in. No question. He's getting in.
But he's there because he's got two two trophies at the house.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is one of those deals where I don't know if it's going to make or break a Hall of Fame career, but it'll damn sure cement his place into the Hall of Fame and into the conversation with the greatest coaches to ever do it.
Yeah, you don't want – if you're Andy Reid, you're very, very close to having a career like Marv Levy. And that's something that – when you get that close that many times in your career and you don't actually seal the deal and finish the job, that's a tough pill to swallow, man. That's why Dusty Baker is back with the Astros now, because he wants – He wants to seal the deal. He wants to finish the job. He wants to complete the mission. And so Andy Reid, I think this is the best collection of talent that he's ever had in the Super Bowl. I think this team is better than the Philadelphia team that he had, that he brought there in the past, and better than all those other Philly teams that made it to NFC Championship games. And so he has the people around him to make it happen. And so it's going to be tough if he's not able to finish the job. But at the same time, I think he's going to get more opportunities because Pat Mahomes is so young and you got a team that's so good that, I mean, they're going to be good for a very, very long time in Kansas City.
How about this? This may be bigger in the big scheme of things for Eric Bieniemy than it is for anybody else. Pat Mahomes is, I mean, look, I said it earlier. I think he's beyond having a bad game. Could he struggle? Sure. But having a bad game where you look and go, they lost that game because Pat Mahomes, I don't think it's going to happen. Andy Reid, could he use a Super Bowl ring? Could he use the big trophy? Yeah, but probably in the Hall of Fame without it.
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy, I think the jury's still out. He hadn't been a head coach yet. Hot candidate, no doubt about it. Some people will say that he's been unfairly looked over the last year about being on the short list of head coaches and getting a head coaching job.
Yeah.
I don't know, Wade, that if Eric Bieniemy doesn't go out there and get this Super Bowl win, I don't know that it doesn't mean more to his career than it does the other two, given where they're at right now.
You know what? I think it would definitely speed up his timeline. I do feel like that from the outside looking in, there's not going to be that many people that give him credit if the Chiefs go out there and win a Super Bowl. It's going to be all about Andy Reid. It's going to be all about Pat Mahomes. So from talking heads and people just watching the game, I don't think they're going to look at that and say, you know what, Eric Bieniemy, he put this thing together. But I do think for organizations out there, when he puts his name in the hat next year or the year after, and he has this, I got this Super Bowl ring on his resume, now it's easier for any owner to sell it to a fan base or just to say, you know what, I am comfortable with this guy. Let's bring him in here and be the head coach of our organization. So I think it would definitely speed up his timeline to eventually become a head coach, because I think it's something definitely in the cards.
We just talk about the resume building aspect of having the big one on your resume. That's huge, man. I don't care you know, where you're trying to go or what title you hold. If you're a member of that team, it's definitely great to have it on your resume. Kyle Shanahan, you know, I think he's a guy, another coach in this game, obviously. He'll be across the field on the other sideline, the head coach of the 49ers. He's a guy that he let one slip away, man, when he was in Atlanta and the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. And a lot of it, I think rightfully so, falls on his shoulders as far as getting conservative. And he himself went on record this week in saying that, man, I got conservative. The play calling wasn't what it should have been, and I could have done better. This is a guy that can get that monkey off his back by winning a big game. Now, it's obviously a different scenario. He's the head coach versus the offensive coordinator. But right now, when you think of Kyle Shanahan, sure, you give him credit. He's done a great job, had a great season. Been a big part of the rebuild in San Francisco. But I think the first things first is when you think of Kyle Shanahan, you think of when he was the offensive coordinator for a very talented Atlanta Falcons offensive football team. They lost a 28-3 lead to New England right here in Houston in the Super Bowl. That's still the first and foremost thing that you think of when you hear Kyle Shanahan. A win Sunday could change it.
Yeah, man. He's got something to prove, because can he do it in the biggest game? Think about Sean McVay and him getting to the Super Bowl last year and only putting up 3 points. They run a very similar style of offense. They run a similar scheme. They're both young, up-and-coming coaches, and people are trying to figure out, is what they're doing, is it real, or is it smoke and mirrors? And so this is an opportunity for him to solidify, yes, I'm one of the best play callers in the game, and now I'm a Super Bowl champion head coach. And so that'll be something to see. I mean, listen, Kyle Shanahan has done an excellent job all year long. And he has that offense clicking at such a high level. But if they go out there in the Super Bowl and the Kansas City Chiefs can hold them to 20 points or something like that, people are going to say, yep, see, Kyle Shanahan, he can't do it in the big game. He can't finish the job. He can't close the deal. The same thing that they say about Andy Reid now. You don't want to have that be part of your legacy as a head coach.
Wade, also tonight, man, the Lakers, they canceled their game immediately following the Kobe Bryant tragedy versus the Clippers, and that game was canceled. The Lakers have not taken the floor. They will take the floor in the Staples Center tonight at 9 p.m. Central versus the Portland Trail Blazers. Man, this is must-see TV.
Yeah, no question, man. You're going to have a Kobe tribute. It's the first game at the Staples Center since Kobe passed away. A tragic incident that went on and nine people's lives are lost. And so, I mean, everybody's going to be glued to the TV. Make sure you get your tissue ready. If you shed a couple of tears, it's perfectly fine, man, because what he meant to the basketball community, what he meant to various communities in women's sports and youth sport, he touched a lot of different people in a bunch of ways. And so for you to lose Kobe Bryant and his daughter to be lost as well, it's a tough pill to swallow, man. And so I doubt there'll be a dry eye in the building. But I'm interested to see what LeBron James does, what type of performance that he puts out there on the court, because I feel like he's going to ball out. He is going to act the damn fool out there on the court because he wants to honor Kobe in the best way he can. And the best way he can is to go out there and go play.
Wade, it's one of those deals for me where, again, it's hard to say that you look forward to something that is a reaction to something that's such a tragedy. But much like I look forward to hearing what Shaq had to say, because you know they had some of the most intimate times together.
Yeah.
I look forward to what LeBron James has to say. I know he's already briefly Instagrammed. I had a message on social media. I know there's some stories out there that the team itself, including the players, wanted to wait until Vanessa, Kobe's wife, actually addressed it. She addressed it on social media. I'm anxious to see. I don't even know. It sounds terrible to say that, but I'm anxious to hear what LeBron, obviously watching play, but to hear what his message is. I don't know that it'll be after the game, but I would think if he does a post-game presser, a big part of it would be that his response.
I tell you what, man, LeBron strikes me as the type of guy that's going to – it's not going to be just him, but with the collection of various guys throughout the league, they're going to do whatever they can to carry on the Mamba Academy and carry on all the things that Kobe Bryant was doing in youth sports and women's sports and just whatever he had going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if he mentioned something to that effect when he gives his first comments. But that's something that, you know, the loss of Kobe Bryant meant so much to so many different communities. Somebody's got to pick up that torch and keep going forward. Yeah. And so if LeBron is one of those guys to do so, I would definitely appreciate that. And I'm sure a lot of people all over the world would as well.
How cool would the impact be if there was 4 or 5 or 10 or 20, however many players that have daughters that hoop and they all got involved and from an ownership and management standpoint and got involved to that degree? Yeah, that would be super powerful. Obviously, that'd be really cool to see. Also, Houston, your man J.J. Watt, 99. He's hosting Saturday Night Live. And just as important, personally a little more important, the guest, what is Luke Combs again?
He's the musical guest.
Musical guest. Why do I keep screwing that up? Luke Combs is my guy. He's my favorite country artist right this minute. He's on Saturday Night Live with J.J. Watt. Again, must-see TV. Next up, Tom Brady. Tom Brady had a little, I don't know, he tweeted a picture. You can't tell if he's walking towards the field or walking away from the field. It's got the sports world turned upside down trying to figure out what Tom Brady is going to do next. We'll talk about the GOAT right here on Sports Radio 610 next. Joined by my man Wade Smith. It's Super Bowl weekend, baby. Wade, we got you. We got him for another, I don't know, 45 minutes right here, baby. Let's talk about the GOAT for a few, man. Tom Brady. Look, wait, I'm going to tell you, man. I said this a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is any way in hell that Tom Brady throws his last football for the New England Patriots of his NFL career, and it's a damn pick six. I don't think there's any way that Tom Brady is leaving, walking away from the game with that being the last image that everybody across the country saw of Tom Brady. So, and I know we're going to dig into it. I know you got a little different feel on this thing.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is Tom Brady, yesterday at about 5:30, he tweeted a picture, and it shot from inside the guts of the stadium, out the tunnel where the team runs onto the field, and he appears to be wearing a pea coat, maybe a little bit of a suit, probably an image that somebody took right before one of the playoff games or a home game this year, as he got off the bus and was walking towards the field. But he's the only one in the picture.
Yeah.
And, of course, media went crazy about, is he walking towards the camera? Is he walking away from the camera? Does that mean he's coming back? Does that mean he's leaving? What does that mean? Wade, I think he's staying, brother.
I know you think he's staying, but I'm looking at this picture, and when I look at this picture, I see him walking away. You look at the toe. It's just like watching the Zapruder film or something from the JFK assassination. When you look at this picture right here, it looks like he's walking out of the stadium. And I know you make a good point about him not wanting to be his last pass to be a pick six, which would be a terrible ending to a storybook career with one organization, but there's a lot of things going on in New England that makes me say, nah, like he ain't coming back. You lose your offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, retired.
Yeah.
That, you talking about a wizard? You talking about a coach that should be in the Hall of Fame, and they don't put assistant coaches in the Hall of Fame? That guy should be in the Hall of Fame with the job that he does with the type of talent that they put into the offensive line position at New England. So to me, that says this is a guy that's going to get hit more because they lost their offensive line coach. Tom Brady wants to win. I think he wants to prove that he can win without Bill Belichick. And I think Bill Belichick feels the same way. I think he wants to prove that he can win without Tom Brady. And so when he starts talking about numbers and the fact that Tom Brady has taken less for so many years of his career, them coming to a deal, man, I just don't see it happen, man. I think Tom Brady is going to leave and go somewhere else. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in Tennessee with his good buddy Mike Vrabel, which would kind of suck if you're a Texans fan.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, man, that is his guy. They're boys. And so, you know, Tennessee has Tannehill, and he did good, and he went to the Pro Bowl. But would you turn away Tom Brady for Tannehill today? Like, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I would take Tom Brady in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, that'd be tough. I mean, there'd be a little bit of a gamble there because I think Tannehill's he's a long-term guy. I think Brady clearly at this point is a short-term guy. But, yeah, you got a chance to get the GOAT versus a guy that was 7-3 in 10 games for you. I'd probably have to go with the GOAT.
Yeah, and I tell you what, man, if I'm a Texans fan, and I am a Texans fan, I would much rather Ryan Tannehill be the long-term solution for the Tennessee Titans than them finding somebody else or having Tom Brady come in here for the next couple of years to try to help them get over the hump. Because I think with the pieces that – would be around Tom Brady in Tennessee, man, he has everything that he needs. He has a good offensive line, hell of a running game, and those receivers. That's a lot of things that he did not have in New England. And so you put him in that scenario, he's gonna produce because I think he still has it.
Yeah, I think a couple of spots. I know Tennessee because of the Vrabel connect, and I think a lot of what they have in place with the run heavy, you know, good defense, the way that the style they play, I think is appealing to Tom Brady. I think the other one is I don't think there's any way that he goes there, but the L.A. Chargers, it was one that I think some people believe that they're locked and loaded, ready for a guy like Tom Brady. I'm sticking to my guns on the L.A. Chargers as far as going after a dual-threat quarterback somehow, some way, whether that's Cam Newton and then draft one or just go a different route. I don't think Tom Brady is going to the West Coast, even though it would be going back home. He's a California kid.
Yeah. Another team that has been mentioned is the Las Vegas Raiders, which that would be an interesting scenario for him as well. It's not Cali, but it's close enough to it. But you still got Derek Carr there. They gave him a boatload of money, and so who knows what's going to happen with that. And I think he addressed that. He had some comments about that too, talking about, you know, I know that because the owner of the Raiders was having a conversation with Tom Brady at the UFC fight. So who knows with that. But Tom Brady coming back to New England, I just find it hard to believe. I think the time is for him to move on and to do other things. Because if he goes back to New England, what is he going back to? That's my thing. Like, who are the pieces that are in place that you're going to say to yourself, we can win with these guys? They've been looking for receivers. They lost the offensive line coach. Like, what is he going back to? And so, and there's guys, Caserio's probably going to be out of there. They're talking about him going to the Carolina Panthers. There's a lot of pieces and stalwarts that have been there in that organization for a long time, and I think it's time for them to kind of separate and make things happen on their own.
Yeah, you know, I just wave for me, man, it's I guess the little bit of pushback relative to what is he going back to would be the culture.
Yeah.
The Bill Belichick aspect of things. I mean, I just – you know, as a former player, that is absolutely critical. I mean, that especially for a quarterback, you know what I mean? I mean, that is – absolutely critical, and I think the relationship that he has with Belichick, he has the ability to walk in and go, hey, man, you got to get this right. Like, you just made me suffer through a year with Edelman as my best and only option at the receiver position.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go help me out now and figure out what you're going to do with this offensive line coach, too, because you got to protect me along the way. I think the relationship there, the culture there would be really, really difficult to walk away. We got Bomani Jones coming on next at 5:35, so we're going to adjust a couple of things. Wade, I want to jump on top of the game, the Super Bowl coming up here. I mean, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. We've talked about the tight ends that are going to be so much fun to watch. We've talked about the speed at the receiver position for Kansas City and at the running back position for the 49ers. The defensive pass rush for the 49ers getting after Pat Mahomes. What exactly is Kansas City going to do defensively to slow down this run attack of the 49ers? Man, we've talked about it six ways to Sunday at the end of the day. So where do you feel this game's going? What's your prediction? Solid prediction. We've had all the time to go back and forth and figure this thing out. Solid prediction, man. What are you going with?
Listen, man, you know I'm a guy that always starts with and finishes with the trenches, and I think this game squarely rests on the shoulders of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. If those guys have a good day at the office, the Chiefs will win this game, and they'll win it by probably two scores. The problem is I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the San Francisco 49ers are going to get after Pat Mahomes. I think the offensive line for the Chiefs is going to struggle. And so if I had to put a prediction right now, we want the full prediction right now, Clint. We want to put it out there.
Yeah, come on, baby, put it out there. We got Bomani Jones coming next. We don't know how long it's going to take, baby. We may eat up the whole segment.
Give me the 49ers 34 and the Chiefs 31. It's going to be a hell of a ball game.
31.
It's going to be a bunch of points. It's going to come down to who's going to make critical stops, who's going to force a fumble, a sack fumble, things of that nature. I think both teams are going to be able to move the ball up and down the field on one another, but San Francisco pulls it out 34-31.
34-31 in a shootout. Here's the deal. I think, said it earlier, I think that this pass rush is something from San Francisco is something that Pat Mahomes has not seen. I think they'll attempt to chip with running backs and attempt to chip with tight ends, but ultimately you and I both know that's not what Kansas City wants to do. They want to get all five out in a route.
Yeah.
They want to empty protect. And they want to sling the ball all over the park. I think that ends up getting the best of them and exposes Pat Mahomes. And as great as he is, nobody at that position likes to get hit like you're a crash test dummy. I think he gets beat up on. I think he gets hobbled. I think the 49ers are able to run away with this thing late and win by more than a touchdown.
Interesting.
Win by more than
a
touchdown.
Can we get a score?
Yeah, I'll go 31. I'll go 31-21. Okay. I think the 49ers are able to hold Mahomes to 21 points. 31-21. That's 52. Here's the deal. And I probably overthink this, Wade, because the total when this game first opened, when Vegas first set the lines, I believe was 51.
Yeah.
Right? I think it bumped to 54 because everybody jumped on the over. A lot of people like the over. Over typically is a fool's bet.
Yeah.
Right? Over in the favorite. Trust me, I've lost a lot of money betting
I'm
over.
I'm sure a lot of people lost on the over last year in that Super Bowl with the Patriots against the Rams, 13-3.
Yeah.
A ton of people lost
on
that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you look at it like this, look at what Tennessee was able to do to Baltimore. Look at who was the other squad that came up with the great game plan versus a powerful offense. Obviously, Tennessee had a pretty good little thing going against KC early. Golly, who was there? Was somebody else earlier in the season that put a great defensive effort up and won a big ball game?
I don't know, but I tell you this: if the San Francisco 49ers hold the Chiefs to 21 points, that'll be a more impressive defensive performance in the Super Bowl than what the Patriots did last year, holding the Rams to three.
I think that'll be a
huge performance for the 49ers if they can hold them to 21 points.
That's my pick, and I think that the like I said, I think it all hinges on look if Mahomes is healthy and he's running around back there like he's just chilling, like he's strolling through the park,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a long day. And the over is going to get blown up in the first half. I think he gets beat up pretty good. He gets hobbled. He's not able to move around the way that he typically does, what we've seen him do the last couple of games, couple of outings. And I think the 49ers stretch this thing out and win it, man. My heart wants KC to win it, but my mind is telling me no. Let my body. You know what I mean. You know where I'm going with that.
I can't mess with Aaron, bro.
What happened? Come on, man.
You can't mess with Aura?
Oh,
what do you mean? I said, I can't mess with Aura.
Oh, you're talking about what he's up
yeah,
to now.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't mess with that guy no more.
Man, look, that back in my day, that was
I feel
that was
you.
My, that
I feel you. I'm just saying
right
that I can't rock with that. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
Okay, I didn't mean to bring up them old memories right there. But Monty Jones, he's up next, man. He will right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll break some things down. Joined by my man Wade Smith Smitty. It's been a good day, baby. We're on the backside of this thing, brother.
No question about it. Let's get it, bro.
Let's get it. We're also joined right now by my man Bamani Jones. B, what's good? What's good, brother?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
Man, there it is. You recognize that damn voice anywhere. You've been at it for a minute, Bamani. We recognize that voice, baby.
Hey, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about the 30 for 30 with Vic, man. I watched the initial episode last night, man. It was a hell of a deal. Obviously, you guys all did a hell of a job, man. What am I looking forward to with that in that part two?
Well, you know, now we get to the situation with fighting dogs in the second episode. I imagine that this will be a far more polarizing episode than the first one was. I think the first one gives you some backstory, and I think for people, especially for people who are younger who don't have a grasp on how unreal Michael Vick was, I think it helps them to kind of lay eyeballs on him to get an idea as to why this was a big deal, why he was a guy that we paid attention to in the first place. And then from there, we start talking about, you know, the what happened at that house and the things that he was responsible for, and then also how what he did after the fact, because I do think there's something to note about Vic, and I understand the people who find him to be unredeemable, irredeemable, and unforgivable. Like, if that's where you are, I can't say I don't understand where you're coming from. But he really has done a lot to try to right the wrongs that he committed, and it's going to be a discussion of those things.
What do you think, Bamani, about Michael Vick as the football Vick, the college football Vick, getting to the league, playing that style of ball, the African-American quarterback, redefining that position with that athleticism as it pertains to what you see Lamar Jackson doing nowadays, Deshaun Watson doing nowadays? I mean, that was a pretty big turn in college football and in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because when Vic comes around and people then say, I got to go find one of those, like, yo, they didn't make a whole lot of those, right? Like, you're not just going to go on the shelf and pick one of those up. And one of the things actually that happened with Vic that the film didn't explore, but it's a point that Harry Edwards makes all the time, that as Vic came around, the change that the league made with the rules was to make the penalties more punitive for roughing the passer, right? Like, it increased the premium on guys being in the pocket because Vic had just completely shattered what people thought was possible and what could be done at quarterback. And I think this part is important. They won games with him in Atlanta, right? Like, he got the Falcons to the NFC Championship game. They won the first ever road playoff win at Lambeau Field was the Falcons in January of 2003. Like, this wasn't just some sort of novelty act. There were ups and downs with it, but the Falcons were more successful than they had ever been up to that point with him.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm blown away with it right now. I can't wait to see the part two that you guys got ready to rock and roll. And hell, you just got me more excited about it, bro. Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about what's going on tonight in L.A. Obviously, the Lakers honoring Kobe tonight. The tragedy is heartbreaking. You know, what the family's going to have to go through or going through, not going to have to, is going through right now is absolutely heartbreaking. What you saw, Shaq, I know I saw on your social media that you were discussing Shaq's reaction and what TNT was able to do with that panel when that game was canceled the other night. You know, what just your thoughts on Kobe, your thoughts on what you'll see tonight, and what to expect tonight.
You know, this has been a rough week, even for people who weren't necessarily fans of Kobe Bryant. Like, this has been sobering in a way that I would not have expected, but I guess I have no way to say what I would have expected, because who would have expected Kobe Bryant to die at 41 years old? But for tonight, like, I always say that Magic Johnson is like the most well-liked man in Los Angeles, like the only man who had demonstrated the ability to unite that fragmented town. And Kobe Bryant, for a different generation, is that guy. Like, L.A. is not a melting pot, really. It's a bunch of people living next to each other, but not doing a lot of living together. The Lakers are really about the only thing that everybody in that area kind of comes together around. And so Kobe, for them, is their guy in a way that not even Magic was, because while he still played with the Lakers, they went with ups and downs, went through ups and downs with Kobe. Like, the kind of things that people say in your own relationship, you're like, yo, well, that's why our bond is so strong. Well, you can make the argument about that with Kobe and them. So for tonight, for them to come out, it's going to be a massive, massive moment. Like, that's one of those things you absolutely want to make sure you see.
Bomani, you talk about Kobe Bryant and his impact on the city of L.A. and basketball in general all over the world, man. Like, When you first heard the news, man, what was your initial reaction, and how were you able to kind of deal with what was to follow with the tragedy of Kobe Bryant?
I think I started with just kind of a measure of disbelief, and then we were dealing with the information that was coming in and not verified. So I went from finding out that Kobe was dead to finding out that five people were in the helicopter, and then doing the math and trying to figure out, oh my gosh, was that his children? But I was like, nah, it wouldn't be. He has four children. They wouldn't all be on four. There would nobody else. And then it's just like, okay, maybe I should wait. And then finding out that his daughter died, and then finding out it was actually nine people that died, right? Like, somehow it went from, it was at once not as bad as I thought it could be, but then also worse than I expected. And then from there, you know, doing this job, you start talking to people who are around not just basketball, but just people, you know, like people of the world. And this is the thing that they want to talk about. And it became just really clear how massive this was to so many people. And, you know, then, I, you know, when you go to work at ESPN, like on Monday, that's before people started leaving for the Super Bowl, man. Everybody's just kind of sad about the same thing, you know. It was just, it was everywhere in a way that part I would not have expected, even if you told me it was coming, is that this would just be everywhere in this way.
And listen, when you talked about the Super Bowl, you just mentioned it. It to you and to me, I've seen, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Is this not the weirdest Super Bowl week that you've experienced as somebody that's covered the game for such a long time, just based off of what happened with the Kobe Bryant situation?
Yeah, it's felt kind of secondary. And, like, off the top of my head, I can't point to exactly what, but I feel like at some point in the last couple of years, there was something that came up right before the Super Bowl that made things feel secondary. But, and this is a great game. Like, this is something that I'm really looking forward to seeing, but it's not something that I've honestly had to bandwidth to give that much attention to because of everything else that's gone on.
Hey, I know you're a Texas guy. A lot of people might know that. By the way, Bomani Jones of ESPN joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Bomani, you're obviously you're a Texas guy, man. You got some roots down here. I know you've been all over. Hell, you've moved around more than most athletes move around. But what, man, the Texans. Look, I mean, they're in a position where the GM Bill O'Brien just got promoted to, not promoted, but officially inked as the GM along with the head coach. Man, the fan base, I think, is torn with him getting more power when the team really can't get beyond winning the division, or they can't get to the point of where they're a true contender in the AFC. You know, what are your thoughts on the Texans being a native Texan here? What are your thoughts on them?
Look, man, I was in Houston when the Oilers left, or I was there like for the last season. My senior year of high school was the last year that the Oilers played in the city. And the thing that people always talk about, man, they had to save the Oilers rally, and I think 60 people showed up. Because when that city decides it's out on you, it is out. Like, before the World Series stuff was coming around, we had the stories about, you know, I know the cable deal was part of it, but the Astros getting those ratings of zero at that point. Like, when Houston decides it doesn't feel like doing this anymore, then they just not going to do it anymore. And I think it's fair to ask how long people are going to feel like doing this. Because after the way they lost in the playoffs, the idea that even if this is really just kind of a rubber stamp and a press release, the idea that this dude would publicly get some level of promotion after the way that they lost, that's a mind-blowing idea to me. So now he's got all the power. He really better win a lot this year. Because my thought has been, if you, as a general manager, make a trade of two first-round picks for any player, right? But that's what they did to get Laremy Tunsil. Hey, man, we got to win this year, right? There's no, we gave it the best we could. That's a win-now move because you're going to have to pay the bill on that not too long. He's going to need the massive extension. Watson's going to need the massive extension. I don't see any way that this doesn't end in catastrophe.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, Bomani, I want to move it because if I start talking about the Texans too long, I might get a little upset and you saying things that are resonating with me right now. But I'm going to move on to the Rockets because You know, I'm going to keep myself in a good state of mind right now. But right now, the Rockets are kind of struggling. You know, James Harden is not playing to the caliber of player that he's been. He's struggling recently and trying to figure out how to get the Rockets over the hump. And I put a trade proposal out there on the radio a little bit earlier today, and I want you to let me know if I'm absolutely crazy or is there something to this. Now, if you had an opportunity and you're the Rockets and you traded James Harden and Clint Capella to the Phoenix Suns for DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Tyler Johnson, and Tyler Johnson's a throw-in to make the money make sense, do you think that that trade would make the Rockets better? And do you think that's a trade that the Phoenix Suns would jump on to make happen?
The Suns would say yes so fast that you would quickly realize you had made a horrible mistake. You'd be like, yo, you're not even going to try to haggle with me? right? You're not even going to try to get a better deal? They're like, no, we are trying to do this before you change your mind. No. Like, I got my questions about Harden, but he's your guy. This is the thing to build around. Like, that guy you do not trade. And I understand why the Rockets did this, and I understand that they had to trade Chris Paul. But they traded Chris Paul and got back a player who's not as good.
Not well, wow. Nice. You got to explain that right there now.
Russ is going to put those numbers up for you. No question about that. But I am not sure. Like, in fact, I think I looked it up the other day, and the Rockets are better with him off the floor than they are with him on the floor. Ain't really got to say much else.
Well, hey, what do you think? With that being said, I think I know the answer to this question, but they stack up against the West, man. Look, the West is an absolute monster. It's gotten better. This is my take, Bomani. I felt like the Rockets were built. They regardless, last year with Paul, this year with Westbrook, the whole scheme, the D'Antoni approach, that was all built to slay the giant that once was the Golden State Warriors. They're no longer the giant in the West. In fact, the giants of the West don't look anything like the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets are in trouble with or without Westbrook and Harden, just simply based off of how they're built in 2020 in the monster that is the West.
Now, I think that is a great point. Because I look at the Rockets, and they're sitting right now at like fifth in the West. How sure are we that the Rockets are getting out of the first round? Like, if they played against Utah in the first round, which way are you going? Because I definitely go Utah on that one. Like, how positive are we that this is going to be a team that's going to make it out of the first round of the playoffs? And if they don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs, how many people are going to get fired, right? Like, is Daryl getting fired? And I know that the owner is very fond of Daryl, so like I know that would not be his inclination. But if this team were to lose in the first round of the playoffs, what happens?
Hey, what about look, I'm all over the spot here because I know you're from Texas. I want to get a take on all these cats, and Houston is throwing all radio gold at us, man. Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker is the new Astros manager. Long time MLB manager. He's got a resume a mile long, man. What did you think about that hire for the Houston Astros?
I think Dusty's a good manager, even if the impression that we have of him largely is not in line with the analytics-driven approach that the Astros have. But I think this is very transactional. I think Dusty looks at this and says, if I get a World Series, I'm in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's something that he wants. And for the Astros, this is the best manager who's not working, right? Like, no matter what you think about the fit, there's no better manager that you could go hire than Dusty Baker. And if you need to smooth some things over and calm some things down, he's good money for that.
Hey, Bomani, you'll like this. He came in his press conference. I don't know if you heard the whole thing or paid close mind to it, but he's 70 years old and he's got a 20-year-old son, so that tells you one thing. He spoke to the fan base in Spanish, and you being from Texas, you understand how impactful that can be down here. And then he alluded to the fact that he was listening to Too Short recently. So I think he's starting off on the right foot.
The only thing about that, he said, I was listening to Too Short, and Too Short said this is the last album. I know what album he's talking about. Too Short put out 11 albums after that. 11. I counted them.
That was on the Just Getting It album, though, right?
Yeah, that was on the Getting It. Like, that would be, like, Getting It would be a track that you could absolutely see Dusty Baker riding to, right? With
no
the
question.
Beatbox on it, you could totally see that.
hey, let's jump to this Super Bowl with some predictions, man. Where's your mind at? Who you taking? And what are some surface thoughts on the Super Bowl Sunday this week?
Yeah, I'm leaning toward Kansas City because, like, really, if this feels like even money and I got to pick between the team with Mahomes and the team with Garoppolo, it feels almost silly to go with the one with Garoppolo. The question I think for Kansas City is going to be if they can block those power forwards at defensive tackle up front and, like, stop them from coming through the middle, then Mahomes is going to have time to get the ball away, and I don't think that San Francisco can keep up with those little fast dudes. But if those power forwards are getting through, everything changes.
That's Bomani Jones on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. B, man, I appreciate you for joining us, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, be good.
All right, out.
That's Bomani Jones, man. I could go. You know, it's crazy how – what if somebody called you? Like, I literally hit him up an hour ago.
On Twitter, right?
I've known Bomani. He's a Texas guy, and we've gone back and forth on some stuff before. It's really cool because somebody was actually popping off, like, right when Twitter first started. And I didn't know he was a Texas guy, so he hit me up and went back and forth on it.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, how would you feel going on radio in New York and them asking you questions about the Yankees and asking you questions? You're one of those like, whoa, wait a minute now.
Yeah, but see, that's why he's at the level that he is, because he has his pulse on everything that's going on in sports. And that's why we were jumping all around, because, like, hold on, I want to hear what he got to say about this. Yeah. I want to hear what – and Houston is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to – things to talk about. And you mentioned that to Bomani, like, listen, you got the Astros getting a new manager, you got Bill O'Brien being dubbed the GM, you got the Super Bowl going on right now, Kobe Bryant, a lot of different things that you want to hit. And so I thought that was an awesome job by Bomani, man. That's why he is who he is.
Solid way. Let's jump in on some of these lines, man. I don't even know that I would mess with the line on this game. Like, I mean, hell, you're picking them straight up, right?
Yeah.
I'm staying away from it. I'll go with the over. I'll go with the over in this game. I don't care. I don't care if it's my what was my prediction? 31,
you said 31-21.
So it's got to be 51.
The over, I thought it was 54.
I got to see it. B-Mac, pull up. What's the latest line? I know it bumped up from 51. So
it's 54.
I guess it's 54. I got to stick with my prediction, and I got to go with the under.
Go with the under, but see,
so I got to go against it.
I predicted 34-31, and I'm pretty confident in that score because I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball up and down the field. So I'm going to go with the over there.
Going with the over. How about this? Odds to win the MVP, Patrick Mahomes, 36%. What's 36% of the handle? What the hell does that mean, B-Mac?
That just means 36% of the action, the bets.
36% of the bets are on Pat Mahomes to win the MVP.
It's a solid bet. I mean, if you think that the Chiefs are going to win the game, Pat Mahomes is going to be the reason why they win the game, and he's going to be the MVP.
Patrick Mahomes, Raheem Mostert, 16%. Jimmy Garoppolo, 12%. I mean, you've got – golly, man.
You think the 49ers are going to win this game, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to figure out who's going to be the MVP of this ball game. I mean, you could make a huge case for, like, Joey Bosa winning the MVP, or Warner, or Quan Alexander. There's going to be a lot of guys that if the 49ers win this game, Mostert, it could be Tevin Coleman, it could be anybody, Garoppolo, anybody, Kittle. It could be any of those guys on the 49ers team, because they're so balanced. And there's a lot of different guys. For them to win the game, there's going to have a lot of different guys play well.
Well, to your point, Patrick Mahomes is 36%, and the other four on the list are all 49ers.
There you go. So
your top five got this. one Kansas City Chief in it. Patrick Mahomes' passing yards, over under 305.
Yards. We're talking about
yards. It's actually
yards.
305 and a hook, by the way. 305 and a half. So if you go, you need 306.
I'm going to say over. 34-31, ooh. I got to go over. Got to go over.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number, but like I said, I got to stick with my original score, and that'll lead me along the rest of my prop bets.
Jimmy Garoppolo, passing yards, over under, 239.5.
I'm going to go under. He might throw for 212 yards, but they're still going to put up a bunch of points.
Okay,
so
I can ride with that.
I'll go with the under on Garoppolo.
Travis Kelce, total receiving yards, 75.5.
Over. Easy.
Man, hey, you got
Kelce. Over, yeah.
You've taken so far every one of the favorites. Pat Mahomes over 305, 67% of the bets are on there. Jimmy Garoppolo, you went under 239.5, 52% of the bets on there. Travis Kelce, total receiving yards, and you went what?
Over.
Over. 72% of the bets are on Travis Kelce to
some
go.
Some smart bettors in the world right
over
now.
Over 75.5. you might need to go to Vegas, man. You might need to call the bookie, baby. Longest field goal scored, 46.5 yards.
You got to go over on that. Over on that. Both of the field goal kickers are pretty good.
Under. 70% of the money's on the under right there, bro.
Yeah, somebody will kick a 48-yard field goal.
Outdoor, Miami.
It's Miami. As long as it's not raining. You know what I mean?
Will Tom Brady be mentioned on TV during the broadcast?
Of
yes or no?
Of course he will.
72% said yes. How many times will Mike Shanahan be shown on TV during the broadcast? The over, under, 1.5?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say over because San Francisco's going to win, and so they're going to show Shanahan probably 3 times.
That'd be a hell of a deal if they started the game and said, Kyle's dad will not be able to make it today. He had a prior engagement. That'd be like, whoa.
Bad parenting, bro. You don't show up to your own kid's Super Bowl? Like, nah, that's bad parenting.
Right, right. That's Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Wade, man, it's been real, brother. It's been real. It's game time now. Next time we talk, we will the Super Bowl will have been played, and we'll know who the champion is.
Yeah, man, it's always real when I kick it with you on the air, man. I enjoy it, and looking forward to a great Super Bowl, man. It's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be one that comes down to the wire, and that's all you can ask for. When your team's not in it, I want to see two teams that can compete and make it come down to the wire, and so I think that's what we're going to see on Sunday.
I got
to
make me a quick stop, pick up the Coors Light for the party. I tell you what else I'm going to do. I got to call Lopez. I suppose it was 2 days ago. I got to call Lopez and figure out how you make – like, I want street tacos with the little chunks of beef.
Yeah.
You know, they do that little cubed pieces of beef instead of the stripped fajitas.
Yeah.
I want street tacos with a little cubed meat. I need to know the best way to do that right there. I'm not much of a cook, so I need a little bit of help. And my man John Lopez is my go-to when it comes to something like that. So I gotta figure that out. We're gonna have some cold Coors Light, we're gonna have some tequila, and we're gonna have some tacos and watch some football.
I tell you what, I can appreciate some tacos, but it's gonna be a barbecue, hot dog, hamburgers, and all that type of stuff at my crib on Sunday night.
There you have it. Houston, thank you so much for listening. We greatly appreciate your support. To all the pro franchises in the city of Houston, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us all the meat to chew on right there. Houston, I'm Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, my man B Mac behind the glass. We're out of here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.